Resort and Casino. Call 800-682-6040 today.
This is the Homer Hour on 94.5 ESPN. Jason Wilde is brought to you by Boucher Automotive, where we ride with you every mile. 18 dealerships, 15 brands, and thousands of vehicles in stock. Check them out at Boucher.com.
It's the Homer Hour, but it's Brian Bulaga, and he said, I want Jason Wilde on the show on Thursday. Jason Wilde is on the show on Thursday. Good afternoon, Jason. And Brian Bulaga, the doctor of football, take it away. Questions you have for Jason Wilde.
Well, thank Jason. How are we doing this evening, man? Are you doing good?
Well, first of all, you're a doctor of both football and obviously knee injuries, so we appreciated you lending your expertise after your lengthy NFL and medical college experiences. So, yes, I'm doing great, and thanks for having me on.
No problem. So I'm gonna cut right to the chase. Right, I learned this from Homer. You were in the locker room for the Bakhtiari interview. What did you take away from it? I saw clips. I read a lot of it. What did you take away from it? Because, you know, when we were talking on, you know, your program, yesterday, you thought he wasn't going to be available for the media. He was available. So what did you kind of take away from it?
Yes, he is a stand-up guy, to be sure. That said, so he talked at the same time as Jordan Love. So we kind of divided and conquered, and Domofsky and a couple of others from our little clique were at David, and then I was at Love. Now, I did text with David last night because I read the transcript, and I thought he did a very good job of dispelling what I thought was a ridiculous, stupid, preposterous idea that he didn't play on turf because he was protesting turf, which I was like, nobody, you have to be really dumb to think that's why. The issue here, and what I wanted to clarify with him after the fact, was did the fact that the game was on turf influence the decision on whether to play or not, right? That's what you and I and Tausch talked about is, because look, I maintain this position, I said it to you, to me, the objective here is for David Bakhtiari to play the maximum number of games possible, acknowledging that with his knee being the way it is, he is not going to play in all 17 games, whether he had played in Atlanta or not. So to me, the idea is, all right, let's look at the situation. Let's look at how his knee feels today. Is it good enough for him to play in today's game or not? If it's iffy and, you know, he wants to play, but he knows it's not anywhere close to 100% and it's borderline on whether he should play, then to me, kind of like the tie goes to the runner, to me, the tie is broken by, is the game on turf or not? And if it's on turf, and he's going to have this really rough recovery then in order to be ready for the next week's game, then let's make a smart decision. And I don't think you would know better than I would, having played in the league for a decade plus. But to me, I don't think guys are going to be pissed at him if he doesn't play because he knows the consequences of playing in that game. To me, this is all about managing and getting him on the field for the most number of games. For example, this week, okay, he didn't practice yesterday, he didn't practice today. Now, they play the Saints on Sunday at noon. Then they play the Lions on Thursday. I think you would say that the idea of him playing Sunday, Thursday sounds like a pretty big challenge, even on grass, even if he was playing on clouds. So I don't know what the smartest play is, but this is where the coaches, the medical staff, Flea, Nate, Doc McKenzie, David, probably not Eric Bakhtiari because I don't think he added a whole lot to the conversation personally, but they need to all talk ahead of time and say, look, what's the smartest play here? How do we get David to play in 12 of the 17 games this year, right? Like, there's another instance where toward the end of the season, they play at Carolina, which I still can't believe this happened, but Carolina went from grass to turf,
which I know.
It boggles my mind. And then the following week, they're at Minnesota on turf. So if I am the Packers when December rolls around, and I also have a December road game on turf at MetLife Stadium on December 11th, all right, how are we going to attack this time of the season and this part of the schedule so we can have as much David Bakhtiari as possible? It doesn't feel like it should be that hard. I would just advocate for, let's all get on the same page. Let's provide a unified front. Let's all know what the hell we're talking about. Because
yep.
I still can't get over the fact that on Monday, Rashid Walker told us that David told him that he was not going to be able to go on Sunday. And that was on Saturday night that he told Rashid that. So,
well, let me interject, because the doctor of football, before this came up, talked about how he thought he was out, Mr. Bulaga, that he was like to tell the person that was replacing him. I sense
that's
that.
That's great.
Yeah.
I'm on board with that, but everybody should know. So they know what they're doing.
I don't know. The doctor didn't mention whether the coach or anybody else knew. Mr. Bulaga, yeah. When you made mention of telling your replacement, you said like the night before or the day before. Was the coaching staff aware of your decision, or when did you tell them?
Yeah, I mean, it was normally pretty well known, at least for me and how I went about it. It was pretty well known by Friday if I was going or not.
So you never told your – did you tell your sub before the coaches knew or the team knew? What was the order?
I mean, if the coaches would already know, right? You go in the doctor office, you see McKenzie, that gets told, flees in there. He makes a phone call right away upstairs, and they know. So it doesn't take much time for everyone to know. I always try to tell my backup as soon as possible, and that was because I wanted them to be ready.
So,
and,
Jason, is this to assume then with Bakhtiari that he didn't have such a gathering with McKenzie, or that's not a part of it in this case?
Right. That's the problem.
I mean, I don't think Green Bay's changed their protocol with how they do things. I don't think they've changed it. I think it's the exact same way. I think potentially Dave was pushing as hard as he could to potentially be ready to play. And he probably got to Saturday. He got on that flight to Atlanta. My guess would be the knee blew up even more from traveling and being in the air. Got down, you know, touchdown, got to Atlanta, got to the hotel, tried to do some more treatment. Knew it wasn't going to turn around, and he let Walker know. That would be my guess, right? I think they're going to give Dave every opportunity up to Saturday or Sunday to be ready to go, and I think what happened is what happened.
Sorry, Jason. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, no, Brian, I would just add this. Then somewhere along the way, and look, I am a huge communication guy, right? That's my big thing. Certainly couldn't block a defensive end, but I think I'm a pretty good communicator. I think I emphasize the importance of it. Somewhere along the way, whoever it is, I'm not blaming David, I'm not blaming Rashid, I'm not blaming Flea, but somewhere along the way, either Matt LaFleur wasn't paying attention, or more likely no one told him the facts of the case until Sunday. And because you can't have your head coach acting the way he did both after the game and then again on Monday when we were asking him questions, because that just, I don't care how pissed he is, right? Because yeah. Mike Holmgren got pissed, Mark McCarthy got pissed, all coaches get pissed. But to some degree, when we're talking about an injury-related thing, that just added kindling to the fire of not knowing what was going on with Bakhtiari, was that the head coach didn't seem to really clear anything up. And you know, you played for Mike McCarthy. His big thing was, don't create questions for other people with what you say in the media. And nothing that Matt LaFleur did tamped down those uncertainties. And so then David gets up there yesterday, and he's getting after the media a little bit for running with the story. But, you know, if David doesn't talk and the head coach is pissed off and the backup is telling us that he found out on Saturday night that he was going to be starting on Sunday, we can only go on the information we have. And on the head coach and the team to make sure that the messaging is all for one and one for all.
I'm to be honest with you, I'm kind of blown away of the potential that LaFleur didn't know. I can't fathom that. To me, it kind of sounds like he's protecting David and kind of protecting, you know, the integrity of the, you know, secrecy of are guys going to play or not all the way up till Sunday until the inactives get released. I could be wrong. I mean, I certainly could be, but it just seems that way. And I know Flea, love him to death. No Nate, love him to death. Love Doc McKenzie to death. I don't think they've changed their protocol and how they do things. I can't imagine it. I mean, I don't know. But so I guess while we're talking about injuries, right, here we are. We're still talking about it. It's only week three. what's the word on Watson, right? He practiced. Now he didn't practice. What's going on? Any inkling
so
there?
They said, yeah, so what Matt LaFleur said today was this was by design, that they wanted to give him a day off where he could recuperate with that hamstring and then have him go tomorrow. Now, again, I defer to you, Doc. Were there when you were on different protocols or coming back from injuries earlier in your career when you were younger, because Watson's only a second-year guy, if you were coming back from something like this, I guess it makes sense to do that, to give him a recovery day. But for me, when I see a guy not practice after he practiced Friday and Wednesday, I'm with you. I'm thinking, well, did he have a setback? That's exactly what LaFleur was asked today. LaFleur claims no, that this was a scheduled, you know, rehab and recover day so he can try and go on Friday with the idea of him playing on Sunday. So, again, he's the hamstring is a different injury than sprained ankle and those kinds of things. But I don't think it's ever a good sign when you are able to practice and then they decide for you to not practice. So we'll see if he's out there tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, it was always – I mean, especially – you know, obviously the science has changed with muscle injuries and with any treating any type of injuries, the science has changed. And the idea of workload ramping up, you know, backing off and all that has changed. But when I was dealing with stuff, especially early on in my career, they wanted to see two or three practices in a row and how it held up getting to Friday and Saturday. There was no really, hey, we're going to practice you. Even when I was with LaFleur, right? Even when I was in Green Bay, like if I got nicked up, there was never, we're going to ramp them up, shut them down, then ramp them back up. It was kind of like, you're going to do a little bit of work on Wednesday, a little bit of work on Thursday, or no work Wednesday, a little bit of work on Thursday, a little bit of work on Friday, do your walkthrough on Saturday, and we're going on Sunday. So like that was the way I did it. Now, obviously, again, the science still has changed, and this is a muscular injury and a hamstring. It wasn't really ever something I dealt with. And obviously this has been going on since what, week three of the preseason. I mean,
yeah, it happened August 31st, on their last practice before the, start of the Labor Day weekend. And Brian, the issue is, so now we're at the, there's a parallel track here with Aaron Jones, who's also extremely important to what these guys do offensively. So he did not practice yesterday. He had his helmet, and I think he went through a pretty rigorous workout with the athletic training staff. And then today, he was a limited participant in practice, which for me, logically, seems
makes sense.
Okay, we're progressing him toward playing, right? And there is no day off in between. So if he's able to practice tomorrow, I would think that would be a hugely encouraging sign. Now, this is a guy who suffered his injury in the Bears game, so the timeline is different, but as you know better than anyone, every injury is different as well. So maybe it's not as severe, and maybe he's going to be, you know, he'll do a little limited work tomorrow. They'll do a bunch of STEM and all the other stuff, research, you know, all the rehab stuff, and have him be ready for like a limited pitch count on Sunday.
Yeah, that's what it seems like. I mean, it seems like the Watson hamstring injury was a pretty significant one, right? Based on when it happened, time missed, all that. Seems like a significant one, but all in all, to have Aaron Jones potentially back, even on a pitch count, is huge, right? Because I think we look at this Saints defense, this is probably the most talented defense they're going to see up to this point, right? Like between the Bears and the Falcons, I think the Saints present the biggest issue with the secondary and the pass rush and kind of what they do. The linebackers are about as good as it gets in the NFL with DeMario David. I mean, so this is going to be a challenge. This isn't, you know, going to be any
cakewalk.
Go ahead.
This isn't the Bears. Go ahead. You can say it.
It's not the Bears.
Thank you.
It's not the Bears. It's not the Bears, and I'm gonna be honest with you. It's not the Falcons either. It's not the Falcons either. The Saints have a really good defense. They have a really good defense. Good thing, what I think is good, and I'm sure Jason, you know, kind of hearing in the locker room, the defense has to feel pretty good about themselves going against the offense as well.
Yeah, I would. Here's the thing. I mean, this is, first of all, on the defensive side, the Saints lost one of their starting safeties. May has been suspended 3 games for violating the substance abuse policy. On offense, they're not going to have Jamal Williams. So they're going to have kind of this inexperienced running back by committee deal. They signed Jamal to be their guy. He ran for 1,000 yards last season. He led the NFL in rushing touchdowns. You're not better when he's out with a hamstring, that's for sure. Now, that said, when, you know, I think the issue for me with the Packers defense now is are they going to be able to, no matter who it is running the football, are they going to be able to stop the run? This feels like, without Jamal Williams in the mix, an opportunity to right the wrong that they experienced in Atlanta when they gave up 211 yards rushing. Look, I think Bijan Robinson is a special player. There was a video that the Falcons put out that was, I don't know how they did it. I don't think you have a drone, so I assume they have like a camera that's attached to the top of the Mercedes-Benz Dome Stadium that followed that run. And I'm sorry, I know that people like to criticize Darnell Savage and Rudy Ford, but Bijan Robinson, you know, before the draft, there were people comparing him to Barry Sanders.
How can people watch that? Because I think everybody should to know.
I tweeted it out.
Oh, okay.
You can find it on. But it's this overhead, and they slow it down as he makes the cuts. And I don't care if you're Troy Polamalu or Ronnie Lott. I think he's juking all the greats. It was that good of a move.
It was ridiculous.
All right, now we've run out of time. We've run out of time, and we have to get in one question for both of you before, and you can give us your explanation in 15 seconds or less, if you wish to. If you were in charge, if you were in charge, would Zach Tom be the starting center for the Green Bay Packers this week, Jason?
No, I still want him on the edge. But I might give Sean Ryan a shot.
Okay. All right. Dr. Bulaga.
Or move John Runyon and play Sean Ryan at right guard.
Okay.
For me, it's no way. He's going to be going against Cam Jordan all game. He's their best defensive lineman, best pass rusher. I want Zach Tom one-on-one with Cam Jordan.
Right.
We're going to see a lot from Zach Tom this week. This is his best test yet against Cam Jordan.
All right, I might ask the same question again next Thursday. Thanks, Jason.
All right, guys. Take care. Be good.
Thanks,
Jason Wilde on Thursday. The Doctor of Football, Brian Bulaga, wants him on, and he will be on next.
The Homer Hour is back after this on 94.5 ESPN.